Track 1. Welcome to the Home Study Course, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled, Helping Parents with Grieving Children. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Jared Baxter. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with grief. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content, either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable. Thus, we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situation. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as grief reflects stages of development, five challenges of a grieving child, complicated mourning, suicide and murder, step-parenting grieving children, the terminally ill, funerals, and burials and cremation. So let's get started. On this track, we will discuss how to introduce a child to an expected death. Four ways parents can introduce a child to an expected death are taking a death history, using correct language, reading about death with the child, and looking for death education opportunities. You may consider playing this track for the parents of a grieving child if you think they may benefit from hearing how the four ways parents can introduce a child to an expected death helped Jean and Chuck. Jean and Chuck scheduled an appointment with a colleague of mine to talk about an expected death. Chuck stated to the therapist, "My mother has been sick for several months now. She has bone marrow cancer and is deteriorating rapidly. The doctors said she only has a few weeks left. Jean and I are concerned about our kids. Nathan is 10 and Lindsay is 12. They are very close to Grandma Barb and really going to miss her. Is there anything we can do to help our kids when Grandma dies?" The therapist stated, "Before you begin talking to your child about Grandma Barb's death, be sure you know where you stand. You may want to take stock of your own death history." To take stock of his own death history, Chuck asked himself the following 8 questions. As I list these questions, you can decide if a parent you are treating could benefit from taking a death history. The questions Chuck asked himself were, 1. What was my first experience with death? 2. How did I learn about death? 3. How did I feel about my early death experiences? 4. Was I protected from the reality of death as a child? 5. Was I prepared for what I saw at my first funeral? 6. Was I discouraged from displaying grief emotionally? 7. How did religious beliefs influence my understanding of death? And 8. What were my childhood superstitions about death? Chuck stated, "When I was a kid, I was told that whenever you heard an owl hoot, someone would die. I spent whole summers sleeping with my blanket over my head so I wouldn't hear an owl. I was so worried I might accidentally kill someone by hearing an owl. I also remember my first death experience. I was 9. In the middle of the night, I heard the squeal of tires. When I looked outside, I saw my dad carrying my dog from the road. She had been hit by a car. The driver tried to stop, but just kept driving after he hit my dog. I was so mad. Then I cried and realized how much I would miss that dog." Chuck's therapist stated, "Recalling your personal death history could help you prepare to talk to your children about Grandma Barb dying. The more you understand your own death history, the better you will be able to help Nathan and Lindsay understand the reality of death. Are you treating a grieving child whose parents could better help their child understand death by first understanding death themselves?" 2. Chuck's therapist stated, "When you tell your children that Grandma Barb is going to die, be sure to use the correct language. Don't use euphemisms like, 'we're going to lose her,' or 'she's going to go to sleep.' These phrases are misleading to children. Imagine how Nathan and Lindsay might interpret those euphemisms. Nathan may spend years waiting for Grandma to wake up." To help Chuck and Jean ensure that they use the correct language, the therapist stated, "Practice with one another by talking about how Grandma Barb is dying. Use words like dead, dying, and cancer. Using correct language, explain to Nathan and Lindsay what will happen after their grandma dies. Then ask if they heard any words they didn't understand. You can help the children understand death by simply explaining what these words mean. Is the parent of the child you were treating using euphemisms to protect their child from the reality of death? Could the parent benefit from using correct language to explain death? Would you agree that, in addition to taking a death history and using correct language, reading about death with a child can play an important role in helping children understand death?" Chuck's therapist recommended 2 books that Chuck and Jean could add to Nathan and Lindsay's library. The therapist stated, "Charlotte's Web introduces the topic of death and can be appreciated by both children. Lindsay may be too old for R.V. Aardvark Finds Hope, but Nathan can gain understanding from it if you stop often to translate the animal story into human terms and then apply the ideas to your own situation." Would you agree, however, that some books may create more problems than they solve when it comes to helping children understand death? For example, one book Chuck's therapist found portrayed death as an old man with a book of names. When a person's name came up, that person died. Clearly, this kind of portrayal is frightening to children. 4. Chuck's therapist asked him to be alert for death education opportunities. The therapist stated, "It may be as simple as explaining a dead houseplant. Anything that can help your child understand death and lacks the emotional impact that the death of a loved one will have will work." At a later session, Chuck stated, "Nathan and I were walking in the park when we saw a dead bird. I figured that would be a good death education opportunity, so I nudged the bird to show Nathan that it would not respond. Then I started explaining the bird's absence of life. I said, 'Look, Nathan, the bird can't fly or see or eat or go to the bathroom. Because it's dead, it will never do those things again.' Nathan started looking real sad, so I told him that it was okay to be sad. I said, 'It makes me sad too, Nathan.' Finally, I discussed our options with Nathan. I told him we could leave the bird there or bury it. Nathan wanted to bury it." Clearly, helping children understand that death is real can help introduce a child to an expected death. As Chuck found, do you agree that this was a learning experience for Nathan? On this track, we have discussed how to introduce a child to an expected death. Four ways parents can introduce a child to an expected death are taking a death history, using correct language, reading about death with the child, and looking for death education opportunities. On the next track, we will discuss the first three stages of development. They are ages 2 to 6, ages 6 to 9, and ages 10 to 13. We will also discuss the three key concepts of death as stated by Dr. David Schonfield. The three key concepts of death are non-functionality of the body, death is final, and death is universal. Question 1. What are four ways parents can introduce a child to an expected death?